What is up, guys? Nice to hear. Welcome to the SuCast for this week. I know it's been a hectic week, at least for me. I don't know how you guys feel on this Monday, or by the time that this does go up. I don't know when that's going to be. It could be today, could be tomorrow, but we are in a full swing, right? For those of you that don't know, before MPL Philippines week four started, I was in Japan for about 10 days or so. I didn't get a podcast episode out or anything during that time. I was actually super busy even while being in Japan. I was there for vacation and work, sort of. But that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to cover some of those things in this podcast episode. It's also in video format because I'm going to throw it up on YouTube as well as Spotify. We're going to cover a couple different things. Number one, we're going to cover briefly the Japan trip, the experience there and everything. Two, MPL Philippines, which will cover its own little different topics. And then, of course, after that is a couple little sprinkles here and there about some other stuff going on in life. So, you know, if you guys are out there watching or listening, grab some coffee, grab a drink, some food, snacks, and let's get to it. Okay, so, like I said, I feel like I lost track of time, like in a way, because right after the Japan trip, we went right into a full week of MPL Philippines. And I'll tell you what, man, MPL Philippines is still the best, right? There's so much happening there, and I can't wait to see how the rest of the regular season goes. But focusing on Japan first, Japan was great. This was a trip that was planned, by the way, for a while. So it's not kind of, you know, I didn't just kind of like decide to like go and leave in the middle of the season. This was planned for a while, and I had let, you know, everybody that needed to know, and kind of was gone for week three, I think it was, which was like, I felt kind of bad because it was one of the long weeks where Saturday, I think, had four series or something like that. And then, of course, like right after that, a bunch of the other MPL casters also left to go compete to represent Philippines, of course, out in China for the Asian Games, I think it was, Asian Games. Congratulations to them, by the way. I think they got fifth overall, so all the boys from MPL. So Japan was great. Japan is a country that is very dear to my heart. Little fun fact, too, and since I can do this since I'm on video, my tattoo sleeve has a lot of influence from my time in Japan, especially this. This is Mount Fuji right here, and I climbed this when I climbed Mount Fuji. I went up to the top. I went up here, I think I was 10 or 11 years old. I lived there for about 7 years. No, I cannot speak Japanese, unfortunately. It's usually a common question that I get. And that's just because I was growing up in a military base for that time of my life, from the age of 3 to 10 or 11, right? Because my dad was stationed there. So, Japan is a very special place to me. Spent so many years there. Love the culture, love the people. And to this day, I think that's one of the biggest things that pulls me there, other than their cuisine, is just the fact that the country itself is a great place to visit. The culture there, of course, I'm an anime lover, just like some of you probably watching or listening to this, but it's not just that, it's the discipline of the Japanese people, the respect that they have, their train system, like their transportation system is amazing. I love it. And there's just so much to do there. Even if it's just going to a park to get some coffee and like a little bit of snacks and literally go have a picnic. Those kinds of things I really do enjoy. I always have. But now, especially that I'm older, you know, I'm in my 30s. And sometimes those type of things that might sound boring to some people, it's nice when you're this busy to just kind of slow things down and enjoy those kind of things. That's why I love parks. I really do love parks. I love nature. I love all that type of stuff. And I'm also not the type of person to have my phone constantly out and like taking videos and pictures, just because I don't know if this makes like I'm old school or what. I don't know how you guys are, but I like to just take things in, you know, as they are, without looking through my phone. Like I'll take some pictures and photos like quickly, and then I'll put it away. Japan, absolutely beautiful country. And it's a country that I would tell people, like if they had asked me, if there was one place you would recommend to go visit in your lifetime, where would it be? I would say Japan. So keep that in mind. If you guys ever get the chance, Now, aside from the vacation part and a little bit of business part that's related to the nail business, we were also there for Tokyo Game Show. Tokyo Game Show is, now for the people in the Philippines, it's similar to what Conquest tried doing, I guess, in a way. You know, it's this mix of a lot of different, like gaming, anime, cosplay. It's a bunch of stuff jammed into one convention for a weekend, that type of thing. And it was my first time. It was amazing. Just simply beautiful. The reason why I say that too is also because I was there with Ungeek. Shout out to Ungeek from the Philippines. They were there, although I didn't get to spend as much time as I would have liked. With them, due to my schedule, it was great to see them out there in Japan, and we got to experience Tokyo Game Show at least for a day. At least I did with them, and so I was there on the business day. Now, when they say business day, you can actually like media people and I think influencers and stuff like that can actually go before it's open up to the public, and this just allows you to basically experience the whole thing without a massive amount of people in lines. So that was great. And of course, there's stuff, you know, they're putting stuff out there like the new games coming out, for example, Final Fantasy, Rebirth, I think it was. There's booths of technology and different gadgets and brands. And there's crazy things that I've never seen before that are being developed and shown off in Japan. It's so cool. Basically, you nerd out really hard, right? If you're into that stuff. One of the coolest things I saw too was this place. I think it was called Gamers Hideout, company in Japan. They sell exactly what the name says. Like it's stuff. Like if you can think you're just this hardcore gamer, like all their stuff was for your comfort or like hiding out in gaming. Whether that was like a half bed setup with a PC or a console setup, you know, with like little things of like food and drinks that you could put in and stuff. They had that you could buy. They had super comfy like chairs if you game on a console and you don't have, you know, a PC setup. They had stuff for that. They had like full on outfits for gamers to keep you like warm, I guess, or comfortable when it's like really cold or hot, for example. And it was awesome. And then the place next to it, I really loved because of especially some of the voiceover work that I do. It was a guy that went and created literally these soundproof boxes, and they're not huge, right? Like if you even here in the Philippines, you could probably fit one of those in your living room or like your office or your bedroom, right? It was very space efficient, I would say, and it was like a soundproof box. And when you open the little door, you go in, it has enough room for your setup. You know, just that's about it. Like it could probably fit two people in there, but it has enough room for your setup. And it's when you close the door, it's completely soundproof. It was amazing. And we tested it with music and everything else. I wish I had that here, you know, because you guys know how loud it can be in the Philippines. But other than that, we just really walked around. There, when it came to the public day, if you guys experienced Conquest here in the Philippines, there was maybe that many people, if not more. Actually, I think there was way more, to be honest. I don't even know how many people in total Tokyo Game Show saw, but that was amazing. The way that, with that volume of people, how well controlled it was. I think that was, as someone who, you know, and I have my Conquest experience episode on this podcast, that's something that really stood out to me. It was the fact that, man, the Japanese here, they organized this thing and they handled it so well. Like with this many people, it's so organized. I loved it. Yes, there were still crazy lines once you're inside the venue and you're trying to, let's say, line up for a demo or, you know, get your hands on the latest gadgets or something and you wanted to test them out. You're probably still going to wait in line for like an hour for each booth, right? Of those, like the Genshin Impact booth had a crazy line and stuff like that. So, you know, just overall, the experience of actually getting in and experiencing the inside was very well together, very well put together. So again, great experience. Love Japan overall. The 10 days flew by. We even recorded a Sue, I was going to say a Sue Man. We even recorded a Road to M5 Sue Man podcast episode while I was out there. With that was the one with Coach Dale. And so that was fun. The Airbnb you stayed at too was great. I do recommend you guys check out Airbnb if you are going to stay in Japan. There's a lot of really nice ones, and usually they're really close to the train station. So other than that, we did the typical things. You know, we went to Disney Sea. We ate a lot of different cuisines and foods, and we walked probably, 15,000 steps to 20,000 steps every day. It was amazing. It was just way too hot. I'm not a huge fan of Japan in the summer because it's still technically summer. It was just as hot as the Philippines. It was around 30 to 35 degrees, give or take, and humid as hell. So aside from that, Japan was great. As soon as I got back, that's where I, you know, every time you leave the Philippines, guys, and you come back, it's kind of like, oh, sheesh, you know, here we are again. Because I don't know if you guys have ever flown out of Terminal 3, you'll know what I'm talking about, man. Terminal 3 in the Philippines is horrendous. It really is. There's always lines. There's always delays. There's always, even when you land on time or early, you're stuck on the runways because for some reason, for a big international airport with all these airlines and flights coming in, we only have two runways. And so even when we landed, we were literally waiting on the runway for like an hour and a half. I don't know. And of course, the traffic was horrendous getting home. Now, all that before the next day, which was day one of week four of MPL Philippines. And because I missed a week, of course, you know, I'm going to work all 3 days. I think I did two series a day. That's usually what we do, except shout out to Chantel and Burrito. They did three series, I think it was, on a Saturday. That is a lot of work, but props to them. Now, coming back to MPL Philippines without, you know, much of rest, I should say. At least from the back end, something that I would share is that it is mentally tough. Like, you need to be mentally tough to do that, because when MPL weekend comes, I would say maybe all the casters feel this way, even around the globe. It is a lot of work. You know, you guys might just think we're just like, we're just talking per series, but of course there's like prep that comes with it. Of course there's, you know, how tiring talking for hours and hours and hours at a performance level can be. I don't think you really understand that until you actually do it. That's one thing I would say. That even was very apparent out for ISF in Romania. But yeah, it's very tiring. So if you don't have enough sleep and whatnot, and you're just kind of exhausted already, it's very tough to get through. But I do love what I'm doing for work, you know, if I can call it work. Yes, it is work, actually. You know, it is work. I love what I do as a caster. I love the esports world and everything else. Of course, there's pros and cons of everything, but I absolutely love it. It's just I needed like three coffees a day to pull me through the weekend. And luckily, you know, last night when it ended on for Sunday, came home, I had some pizza, man, because I just wanted to like have some pizza and relax. So I had some pizza, hydrated really well, took my vitamins, and I got a solid 8 hours of sleep. So that was amazing. But real quick, I just kind of want to talk about a couple things for MPL Philippines week four. Number one is, hey, I still think MPL Philippines is the best MPL to watch. Call that bias, call it whatever. But even just looking at other MPL regions right now, I think this is the most exciting that our seasons have been. And when I say our MPL region is the best, what I'm really saying, of course, is like, I feel like as a broadcast as a whole, yes, there's hiccups here and there, but I think we're a very strong broadcast team on both languages, but also just our teams, our players, our atmosphere is very, very entertaining. Even from a casting perspective, where this season specifically, you don't know who is going to, you know, I mean, I guess after this point, you kind of have an idea, but for the most part, we really haven't had a sure, you know, these guys are going to just win it all, or this is, yes, Echo is strong. Yes, they are on a crazy win streak right now, but so was Onyx before they ended up going against Echo, you know? And I still think that even with these 2 weeks left in the regular season, week 5 and 6 ahead of us, there's a chance that Echo actually gets beat. I think that's very possible here. And it's just been great so far, right? And really in the middle of the standings where things were like so close to the point where, again, even that seventh and eighth spot, things could still happen in 2 weeks. Yes, TNC is kind of in trouble here. But again, sweeps can really change the course of the next 2 weeks in the lower half of the standings. So it was great. And I'm going to go ahead and pop this up here. So, you know, looking at this again for week four, you know, we started off with Echo and Blacklist, which was great. It was a sweep. Again, that's where Echo is really just kind of showing that dominant factor, building that win streak up. Of course, we had Onyx and RSG. I love what's happening with Onyx Philippines, but you guys know, and I'm always vocal about this, I love RSG. I also was a huge fan of Demon Kite. I'm glad to see Demon Kite where he is now, the things he's accomplishing. Hopefully that continues on and we get to see their playoffs very soon, right? But still rooting for RSG. I love Coach Panda, all those guys, and how they've developed over the seasons. So I'm hoping, you know, that they can keep things together and maybe show something really well in the playoffs if they get there. This one, of course, to round out that Friday was TNC getting swept by AP Bren. Yeah, TNC struggling. I'm not really sure if they can actually make it for this season at this point. I think they have to have some amazing things happen next week, which, you know, the first game they play Echo. It would be great if they somehow beat Echo. If TNC somehow beats Echo and ruins the win streak, that would be crazy. Then I'll really be like, all right, this is the best. Yeah, this is the best MPL region, you know. No, I already believe that. But that would be crazy if that happens. They do play Omega, so they only have two matches next week. And then I think week six, they have three. Yeah, they have three. So honestly, TNC is kind of running out of time. And hopefully they can make something happen. If not, you know, better luck next season. But the rest of the week, too, like I said, was filled with a lot of great things, great games. This one especially, Blacklist and Omega, that ended yesterday. I cannot believe that this was a sweep. I did not expect it to be a sweep. Omega sweeping Blacklist International, especially after that game one. If you guys did not catch that, I highly recommend you go back and watch the game of Blacklist International, Smart Omega yesterday, day three of week four. Game one was amazing. It was like 37 and a half minutes, I think it was. It was just great, great MLBB back and forth. Game two, on the other hand, Smart Omega just dominated Blacklist. Not sure what happened and how they really changed that from game one, but, you know, it was great. A great, great week, basically, is what I'm trying to say here. And as we take a look at the standings, this is another thing, right? Now, standings-wise, you can already see it, right? Echo 9-0, which they're getting very close to, I think it was Blacklist International, if I remember right. I can't remember what season, but I think they had an 11-game win streak. I'm not sure if I was already a part of the MPL then, if that was season 8, or maybe it was season 7. But yeah, they had a massive win streak, and Echo is getting close to it. They're also at 24 points, right? So their playoffs are already secured. They, the next closest team to them, obviously RSG now, very happy about this as an RSG fan, because they were struggling in the beginning of the season quite a bit, you know? So they've managed to do pretty well lately. We'll see if they can maintain the upper part of the standings here. Of course, we've got Onyx, and this is the thing that's really apparent, right? You got 15, 15, 13, 12. Like, these four teams right here, so much can happen. A lot of eyes are going to be on Onyx, AP Bren, Black, and Omega to see what happens. Manana, like I said, they're still in it. You know, they're only 2 points away from Omega. So really, I feel like the pressure, the fire is on for Omega and Manana, because they're going to be fighting it out quite a bit here for the standings wise. Like I said, TNC's quite dire, right? 1-8. That is tough. So not sure what else you can really say about TNC. Hopefully they just finish the season strong. You know, that's one thing I'm hoping for. Now, Aside from that, the other thing real quick is this is what I want to talk about right here. The Hall of Legends. Oh, my dog. Dia. No. We're just going to leave that in. We don't need to cut that out. I don't know if that's a cat or if that's a bird, but anyway, Hall of Legends, and that's going to keep switching here, but that's one thing I want to talk about, Hall of Legends, and the reason why is I want to know if you guys want to comment on this, if you are watching on YouTube, or if you can somehow comment on Spotify too. I'd like to know what you guys think for the Hall of Legends, right? Maybe who your vote would be. Okay, I just pulled it up so that it didn't keep cycling through. But yeah, Hall of Legends, and I know they're going to get some voting as well from the community and whatnot, and I'm just curious who you guys would vote for. This can be players, it can be coaches, it can be personalities or talents. And for me, this is a, I don't know, sometimes I wish they... maybe they did like two or something. I think it's once a season or once a year. It might be once a year, actually. My vote, and I really have, like, I haven't made a post about this or anything like this, but I've been thinking about it for a couple days now. And really, for the Hall of Legends, there's two that actually there is three, I would say. This has been going around quite a bit. But my two are actually coaches, the ones that I would go for. And the reason why is because I think the reason why I think they're worthy of being a Hall of Legends, like I know that a lot of players, a lot of teams, a lot of players and a lot of personalities out there really are legendary in what they've done for the scene and for MLBB. But, you know, I also want to include the impact of coaches, if you will, right? And the reason why I say that is because we're seeing this, especially in now where there's so many imports going around from the Philippines, you know, to these different regions, these different MPLs, these different tournaments. Hell, even if they're just picked up to coach a team and they're not necessarily there, there's an impact from Philippine imports of players and coaches. And there's two guys that really stick out for me here, and number one would be Ducky, Coach Ducky. You know, you guys have already seen, I'm sure, the accomplishments, the accolades of Coach Ducky here, and even just to, you know, get to know him a little bit myself personally, especially in some of the international tournaments that he's been in, even most recently ISF Romania. It's been great to see that, and his impact on not only the scene but the players that he's worked with is very apparent. And I also really like the fact that he kind of helped, you know, start kind of molding this thing in the environment of Brand and AP Brand now, where, you know, fitness and gaming go hand in hand. And if you look at AP Brand, all those guys work out, by the way. They're buff, right? They've even asked me, they've stopped me and they asked me, they call me big man. So they're just, hey, big man, nicely, what is your bench? Or like, what is your deadlift? And it's funny because I, even before, when I was really into gaming myself, you know, practically my whole life, but especially in high school, I had a coach basically tell me the same thing. Like, you know, it's great to be gaming, but just make sure you're not sitting on your butt all day. Don't sit on your ass all day, you know, make sure you're active as well. And it'll go hand in hand. Like if you're a healthy person or a healthier person, or let's say you're doing activity daily, or at least, you know, multiple times a week, it will make you play better. And you've seen this in lots of teams and different esports titles around the world. They usually have a coach for their health and nutrition. And usually the players profit off of that, you know, in terms of their performance in game. And so it's great to see that, because there, I don't think there was that many teams that really prioritized that or maybe even spoke to that. AP Brand was one of the teams that did that first, because even the office back then, I'm not sure when it was established, but the office of Brand had a gym in it. And so like their players from even other titles would work out there And, you know, it was great to see. And now this is kind of happening with multiple teams and organizations. So, you know, great to have that. Coach Ducky, again, the stuff that he's accomplished. I know he feels like he doesn't deserve to be there, but I do. He's definitely made an impact. And I know even other coaches have looked up to what he's done for not only himself, achievements, his own achievements, but for the players he's worked with as well, right? Aside from that, my second one would be a fellow talent and friend of mine, and that would be Wolf. And Mangine is already there, right? Very deserving. Mangine's like the face of MPL, and his voice is very unique to MPL as well. As soon as you hear Mangine, a lot of people are probably going to think of MPL Philippines, right? Or MLBB in general. Wolf is another person that I feel like is very deserving of that slot, just because of the amount of work that Wolf has done locally and internationally. He's the brightest, if not one of the brightest. He's one of the brightest, if not the brightest minds when it comes to analyzing and breaking things down on a very digestible level for what happens in the competitive scene. I think that's something that kind of gets taken for granted by some of the viewers, some of the listeners out there too, is it is easy to understand something to a high degree if you really study it. It's a whole nother thing to break that vast knowledge and understanding and put it into digestible pieces of information for a wide range of people or listeners or watchers to be able to understand that, to be able to appreciate what you're doing, right? Because again, not everybody watching MLBB esports is going to care about some of the deeper level analytical stuff. But Wolf and the other amazing analysts out there, but Wolf especially, does a fantastic job at giving a piece of that to all the types of people that are into analysis, right? And I think even if you listen very well into a broadcast, you'll know what I mean, because there are things that he keeps at somewhat of a surface level. Then there are things that he goes into a deeper level, like medium. And then there's things that he goes deep dive into, where sometimes you hear Wolf, especially if he's on the English desk, he's like, sorry, Naisu, I'm going to nerd out a little bit. And he like goes for it. And then, you know, he gets so excited with what's going on in his brain that he has to remember, like, okay, hold on, I also need to chunk this down so it's digestible by the general audience, you know? So he alone has really helped me understand a lot more of what goes on, you know, in terms of the analysis of the game and everything like that, right? So that takes hours and hours and hours of practice and potential and delivery. And, you know, just knowing, of course, too, what Wolf has been challenged with in life as well. You know, and he's been very vocal about his health and everything like that. It's amazing what he's able to accomplish. Like sometimes, you know, Wolf is coming to broadcast days a little bit later than everybody else because he has such a hard time getting there. You know what I mean? Like physically, because of what he's going through. So I have so much respect for Wolf, and I know a lot of other people do too. And he is the best analysis in the world. Not only for MLBB, but I'm sure for he could be for other games as well. I know he came with a background from Dota, but he's also done Valorant casts as well. So, you know, hats off to him. He's an amazing guy, amazing friend. And I think he's also very well deserving of the Hall of Legends spot. So those would be my two. I'm curious, like I said, what you guys think, who you would vote for the Hall of Legends. So feel free to comment it down below, you know, who it is and why. There's a lot of great people out there that are deserving of it. Definitely. So aside from that, before I wrap up here, because I didn't even realize we're already getting to a 30-minute mark for this recording, I do want to go ahead and just plug real quickly as well. Guys, please do go and check out the Road to M5 podcast. I'm going to pull it up here for you guys to see. Okay, there it is. This is the Road to M5 podcast. You can find it also on Spotify here. This is officially from MPL Philippines. It's hosted by me and Mangine. The latest episode is Singapore's Road to M5, where this is what I was saying. We recorded this when I was in Japan, and this was with Coach Dale. There's a couple other episodes here. There's, of course, Singapore, Malaysia, North America, and Indonesia. So definitely check that out. Also give us a rating if you guys listen to it, follow it and everything else like that. We do appreciate it. We have more episodes in store for you guys very soon. We actually just recorded one this morning, and we have another one that we'll be recording tomorrow. So yeah, as you can see, things are quite hectic, right? If you guys think I look tired, I am, but I'm getting there. I'm getting the rest, the vitamins that I need. Don't worry. I appreciate you guys, and I really love doing this stuff anyway. So thank you for of course, listening, watching, joining me here for this week's SuCast. And I can't wait. You know, I can't wait to see what's in store for MPL Philippines week 5. And we only have 2 weeks left of the regular season, so it's going to be closing up very, very soon. And of course, we have all these other playoffs in other regions going on in the next like week or two. So keep an eye on for everything. Also, NACT just wrapped up. It was great to see. Congratulations to the Ohio brothers. They swept Avalon, and I think a lot of people were surprised too with what happened with BTK. So, you know, better luck to Zane and the boys there. Hopefully they can recoup. And I don't know. I have a feeling we'll even see Zane in the Philippines anyway for M5. I feel like he'll just come watch if he wants to. That wouldn't surprise me, right? But yeah, I think it's great. Hoon and his team and everybody else from the Ohio brothers will be out here. Can't wait to see them, of course. Congratulations for a dominating win in the grand finals, right? So other than that, that is going to be it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for watching. I'm going to go get to the other things I need to, but that is a brief overview of, I would say, the past 2 weeks or so. So thank you guys. We'll see you in the next one. GG, WP.